Bucha is just to the northwest of Kyiv, and you've probably heard that name because it got real famous in Kyiv and in Ukraine after it was retaken by Ukrainian forces back in March of this year. The Russians actually only held Bucha for a little over a month, between the 27th of February and the 31st of March. But in that time, they really wrecked this area. As a matter of fact, I can still smell that sort of burnt tang in the air from some of the destruction in this area. We've just been touring some of it, and there are whole housing developments, whole neighborhoods that have been burned out and wrecked. This church has got some bullet holes in it, not too bad. Wasn't too badly destroyed, but there was something else that makes this church sort of a landmark now, and that's this field over here behind it. In the time that the Russians held Bucha, it's now known that they murdered over 1,000 people here. Many of them had their hands tied behind them, shot in the back of the head. In some of these apartment buildings, they actually found entire apartments that were full of young ladies who had been raped and murdered and all thrown in a pile in one apartment, some of them as young as 4 years old, if you can imagine. It's horrific. This was one of the mass graves that they uncovered. It's now been recovered, but they took 40 bodies out of here, they say, and they found mass graves like this all over Bucha. This little memorial is all that's left of the mass grave here, but the real question is, how many more of these mass graves exist all over Ukraine? I read an article yesterday about in Kherson, the Russians are starting to think that they may not be able to hold on to that city and they may lose it here shortly. And so they've brought in mobile crematorium trucks, and they're using those to burn the bodies rather than bury them like they did here, so that it'll make it harder for them, for the war crimes tribunals to prove the number of people who were murdered. We really will probably never know the number of people who died. There were some satellite photos that came out of Mariupol during the siege there that showed at least 9,000 bodies stacked up in a mass grave. But again, the Russians may have learned from that mistake and may not repeat it. We're doing this documentary on some of the atrocities that have taken place during this conflict. And, you know, it really kind of burns me when I see people online who try to make the excuse that, well, everybody knows Ukraine is a corrupt country. Saw somebody today that said Ukraine is the most corrupt country in all of Europe or Eastern Europe. I don't think that's the case. If you were to compare Ukraine to Belarus, for example, Belarus would be far more corrupt than Ukraine. And Ukraine was very corrupt after the Soviet Union fell, as were many of the countries that balkanized away from the Soviet Union, because when they went from that centralized, very strict, regimented government system to essentially no government system, they kind of had to figure things out on their own. And it was like the Wild Wild West. And so it was like, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. If you get caught, you're not trying hard enough. That was kind of the mindset. But that has slowly been changing. And as a matter of fact, Vladimir Zelensky was elected to help get rid of some of the corruption here in Ukraine. Does that mean that there is no corruption? Of course not. Anybody remember the 2020 election in the United States? You know, if corruption was an excuse for your neighbor to start bombing you indiscriminately, then Canada would have been bombing the United States a long time ago. But it's not. And so it's a false moral equivalence to try to say, oh, well, Ukraine, you know, just deserves what it gets because it's a corrupt country. That's completely wrong. And it's an immoral statement to say that. And most of the people who are saying it couldn't detail any of the actual corruption in Ukraine if you tried to force them to. They just read about it somewhere on the internet. And it sort of gets me fired up, especially when I see things like this. I've been covering this war since before the beginning of the war. And I've been all over this country, and I've seen so many people who have suffered greatly because of the attack by Russia. And I don't know any of those people that you could say deserved what they got. People who got blown out of their houses, people who've had their homes destroyed, their lives destroyed, their families murdered. Those people don't deserve any of this. And Russia has absolutely no legitimate claim to come in here and try to burn down Ukraine any more than you would have a legitimate claim to burn down your neighbor's house because you don't like that he hosts loud parties once in a while. That's what we're talking about here. It's the moral equivalence that people on the internet are trying to give to Russia and say that Russia had some good reason for doing what they did that really gets to me. I'm here to report what's going on the ground and to tell people, you know, what's actually happening. And it's frustrating to see people who really don't know their butt from a hole in the ground when it comes to what's happening over here with the politics, trying to somehow justify what Russia's done. Okay, rant off. Thanks for watching Hot Zone. I'm Chuck Holton.